Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com/know-how and save 20% off any order. And by iFixit, the free online repair manual for everything. Before you start your next build or fix, head over to ifixit.com/twit to snag the fully loaded ProTech toolkit for only $59.95 and check out their array of high-quality parts, tools, and guides. Today on Know How,
we're fast prototyping Halloween! Ooh, trick or treat!
Is that a Halloween noise? I don't know.
Welcome to Know How. It's a Twitch show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I am Father Robert Ballasair.
And I am lover of all things Halloween, Megan Maroney.
And as you may have noticed from our fine, fine Scullies, we're going to be dumping some Halloween knowledge, specifically fast prototyping knowledge, into your minds so that you can go home and Halloween on your own. Is that a verb?
Halloween? Yeah, it is a verb.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. Fast prototyping. Now, you're going to have to explain to me what that means.
Well, this is something that every maker, every DIYer should know how to do, and that is take something that you kind of want to do. Maybe you don't quite have an idea exactly of what it is, what you want to do, or how to get there, and then do the steps, the logic tree that you need to get from point A to point Z or double Z. That's the idea of fast prototyping. And it's enabled by the fact that we have things like Arduinos and 3D printers where I can do a lot of iterations of a project to get to my finished product.
So fast prototyping is not what I do, which is go to the dollar store for my Halloween decorations.
Actually, it is. And this is why I wanted to wrap in your dollar store decorations, because there are so many things that makers will do that start with something they saw. You know, it might be, oh, you know what? I saw a skull in a dollar store. I would love to be able to move the jaw, or I'd like to be able to illuminate it, or I'd like to be able to make it turn on a pivot. Well, from that initial thing that you might buy, maybe you cut it up, maybe you redesign it, maybe you print it entirely from a 3D print, but it's all part of that process of turning an idea into something that's real, which I love. I mean, that's what Know-How is all about, that fast prototyping, that maker spirit of, I'm going to take something and make it into something else.
I love it.
Are you down with that?
I'm down with that.
Okay. So this is what we're going to do. Burke, if you cut to the side view, this is Scully, but this is the fast prototype of Scully. So essentially, this is a super simple project. This is not much different from the mad science bubbler that we did with Jason Howell a few weeks ago. This is just a 3D printed skull. This is a deck that's also been 3D printed. All the electronics are inside of there. Now, I've done a couple of design things, which we'll go over in just a little bit. You know, things like the runes and the Celtic marks across, you know, just to give it a little extra something. But ultimately, what this is going to do is it's going to use a WS2812 ring of LEDs combined with an Arduino and combined with this thing poking out of the front is an ultrasonic distance sensor. So the idea is this goes over a candy bowl, and as kids reach for the candy, you're going to be able to change the animation patterns, even doing something like that deep, menacing red, which is, super geeky. Now, the nice thing about this is if you have the printer and you have the filament, this project is, less than $10. It's a very inexpensive way for you to get into the Halloween spirit.
Nice.
Yeah. But before we get there, Megan, I was kind of hoping that you'd show me some of your dollar store ideas so that we could take them and maybe brainstorm what we want to fast prototype.
Okay. Well, first, I have this. Her name is Orangina. I name all of my skulls. She has a little switch on the bottom. She runs on a battery. You can see that her light's just turned on, and she can talk to you. She also spreads glitter, orange glitter, all over everything.
Well, I mean, I also spread orange glitter everywhere. It's kind of a thing.
So what I love this because she's cute and she's scary at the same time, and her jaw moves, but I have to just turn this off and on. And I bought 10 of these, and I would say five of them already aren't working anymore.
Yeah.
And they come with the little tiny watch battery that, you know.
And they're not built for reliability. I mean, these are literally throwaway devices, which is actually something else that we want to do. We want to make our devices not be so throwaway. Yep. Wait. Okay, I get skulls. An owl? Is an owl a Halloween thing?
Yes, and her battery's already run out. Her lights don't work. You know, it's like I paid a dollar for her. But she worked for several days. Now, and then just the general skull, also a dollar. His jaw moves a little bit. Who did we decided I might do the whole show just like this.
I like that.
Bob, Silent Bob, or Bill. We don't really know what his name is. But, you know, you could cut him open. We had some ideas for
him. This is actually a good place to start with your fast prototyping. So this is a complete product in and of itself. But it does have an articulated jaw. Now, this would be super, super simple to maybe cut a hole in here, because this is hollow, and it becomes the container for all the electronics. It'd be really easy for me to 3D print like a caddy that I can insert so everything stays solid. And then if I go to the overhead, if I just installed, or actually the side view, if I just installed a servo right here with just a push rod, I could actually move the jaw. And I could do the same thing that I do with the with Scully, which is use a distance sensor. So as someone approaches, it would just open the jaw more, and as they walk away, it closes the jaw. You know, it's super simple. That's something that could literally take me an hour to complete, but it's just kind of freaky. It's just kind of cool, right? I mean, that's the idea of fast prototyping. So wait, what, John or Bob?
Bob, Silent Bob.
All right, so Silent Bob, get out of here.
Okay, and Y guy in the chat room says, can't you just replace the battery? And absolutely can. It's just a screw, and I can do that. And okay, so this is Karen also. She was not a dollar. She was probably around $5. I think I got her on Amazon. But she could fly through the air. You could light her. You know, we could maybe do something with her. She also has the articulated jaw. She has no body in there.
I was thinking about this, though, the other day. You know what would make this cool? Because she has all this little fabric that makes her kind of ghoulish.
Flowy.
Well, how easy would it be to install some sort of fan just to make it billow?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, because you don't want to do the same effect on all your Halloween decorations. Right. Otherwise, people are going, it's just servos and lights.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of lights, a little bit of servos, maybe a fog machine. Now you've got a Halloween display.
Okay.
Karen, stay.
And then this one was also a little bit more than a dollar.
This one I like.
Is steampunk Uric. that I think you could probably make yourself, too, with some glue, maybe.
Done something like this before with the steampunk goggles, but I mean, what I like about this is, if you go to the side view again here, Burke, it's pretty, really detailed. How much was this?
That was $15.
$15, it's solid. It doesn't feel plasticky. It's a different sort of plastic. I don't know if I'd want to drill into this just because I'm afraid that I might create a crack that actually runs up the skull. Mm-hmm. But this is something that I could see very easily. You just put a lighted platform. I've made a bunch of them this Halloween with a ring of LEDs around the outside. It just illuminates a platform and indirectly illuminates the skull. That's, something that, again, fast prototyping would take me maybe 30 minutes of design, probably about 8 hours of printing, and it's done.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, what's his name?
Steampunk Uric.
Steampunk Uric.
We knew him well.
Mm-hmm. All right, Steampunk, get over here. Like, you can stand next to Bob.
Okay, Karen needs a little help, too.
There you go. Bob.
Bob will hold Karen. That's the way it always works through all history. Okay, but with all of these things that absolutely cover my house, I have none of the maker joy of having made them myself.
Your kids are a little...
they're annoyed.
They're annoyed, which is weird. Aren't kids supposed to be in the Halloween?
I know. My husband also is annoyed because we have a lot of stuff that I didn't even bring that goes off when you walk by it, the kind of stuff that starts like playing scary music when you walk by it. But I couldn't bear to take that down because it was very difficult to hang up.
You really kind of like Halloween.
I don't even know that word. Love.
Okay. You love all of them.
Yeah.
I got it. And again, if you were to make every Halloween decoration, it would take a long time. I mean, the bubblers that we made 2 weeks ago, Those are fun, but you know, it's a very specific type of display. It's sort of the mad scientist Halloween display. These are more the traditional skull and crossbone types of Halloween. I'm glad that you've done all this, because I want to come back next week and maybe let's go ahead and make the lighted platform for Steampunk York, and I'll bring in a fan, a distance controlled fan for Karen, and then we'll definitely have to work on a servo for Bob. How about that?
That's a great idea. Also, CR1 in the chat room has an excellent idea. Put an Amazon Echo Dot in the skull, or you could just put it behind the skull. And with the Echo Dot, you can speak to the remote. You can say to the remote, Simon says whatever, and then it'll speak. So that is a great idea, and I'm totally using that, because we have 5 Echo Dots, so we should be able to spare one for this project.
Yeah, see, I've never really been a Halloween guy, but I love making stuff for Halloween. I'm lazy. Yeah, cool. All right.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, let's take a look at what we're going to need for Project Scully. We already know that we're going to be using these. Now, this, I cannot take, I would love to take credit for this, but I cannot, because this was actually a 3D scan of a dollar store skull. It's actually, they call it a Celtic skull. If you go to the side view there, Burke, you can see that it's got a bunch of patterns. So it's not just, I mean, put this next to a traditional skull. No, go to the side view. Stay on the side view. This is our traditional skull. This is our small Celtic skull. Now, the reason why I made it so small is for reasons. It just takes a long time to print. Even at this size, this is, you know, like a 16-hour print.
Whoa.
And I just didn't have time to fast prototype. I've only got 2 printers, and I needed to make 2 complete sets. Ideally, I would make this bigger, and it's really easy to scale this thing up or down. But you'll notice it kind of has a melted look. That's not actually part of the design. This, Megan, it's called support. So when I create something like this, a 3D print like Scully, what's going to happen is you end up with a lot of overhangs. In fact, let's bring fully assembled Scully up here. All these overhangs, this poses a problem for a 3D printer, because remember, it's printing from the bottom up. And these surfaces here, there's nothing underneath it. So when it goes to print that, it would just fall. The filament would just fall all the way down, right? So to counter that, when I slice this, the program puts in all of this stuff, which is technically, theoretically, very easily removed, which you're going to do.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to...
I knew I had a purpose here.
You got a job here, and this is... It's going to take a while. But, all right, so that's the skull. We're going to fast prototype this into something like this. Now, let's go ahead and go over the parts list. I'm giving the parts for the entire thing. The reason why we're not going to complete the project today is because the sensors I got for this actually are horrible. They're terrible. They're incredibly inaccurate, entirely up to me. That was my fault. I bought cheap sensors for like 76 cents each. I probably should have paid $1.80 more, and then I would have gotten proper sensors. But the parts list is not too great. The first thing we're going to start with is a 16 LED ring. Go ahead and go to the overhead, Burke. Not the side. There you go. So this is what this looks like. You've seen these before. We've used this in the Project Steampunk goggles very easily. They're WS2812 LEDs, which we're going to explain to you if you've never watched Know How before, that allow me to individually control every LED. So I can change the color and the brightness of all the LEDs in this chain using this. These little pads allow me to daisy chain these units together. So I have power, and for power I need ground and 5 volts, and then I have, you'll see, in and out. That's data in and data out. That one wire will carry the information to the LEDs and tell them what to do. And I'll explain how these work in just a bit. So that's one thing I need. The second thing I'm going to need is an Arduino Nano. We've seen these before. I'm using a Nano, again, because I like the size format. I could use a full size. If I have an Uno, that would actually fit in the base. But I'm using a Nano just because I really, really like the smaller size. It really lends itself to being pushed into tight spaces. Then this, and unfortunately this is the part that's busted on my current iteration of Scully, is an HCSRO4 ultrasonic module. Now, this is super, super simple. It's an echolocation. So this is going to go ahead and send out an ultrasonic pulse, which hits an object, bounces back, and is received on this side. That's trigger, and that's receiver. And by taking that time and dividing it by 2, and then multiplying it by the speed of sound, I know how far away something is, right? And that just tells me if something's getting closer or something's getting further away. So these three parts are what I need for Project Scully in its entirety. Now, I've disabled the ultrasonic sensor on this particular project because it's flaky, unfortunately. Again, low-quality parts.
You should have gone to the dollar store, not the 79-cent store.
Touche. I've got nothing for that one. You're right. I got cheap. Every once in a while, being cheap does bite you. Actually, I was lulled into a sense of false security because I bought these about 3 years ago. I bought a pack of 20 of them. And the first five or six were perfect. And then I unwrapped the rest of them, and they're all bad.
Oh.
So, oops. Either that or they just sat too long. Maybe they've got a shelf life. Yeah. Actually, let's go. I made sure that links are all in the show notes. So you're going to need this. Go ahead and go to that first link. The 16-LED WS2812. It's a 50-50 LED ring. It's going to cost you about $4. However, if you do a lot of these projects and you're willing to buy them in like a pack of 10, you can get that price down to about $250. And again, I always buy in bulk because I use a lot of these parts and I don't like to order them right as I'm beginning a project because it takes a long time to get here. Second part, if you go and go, is the Arduino Nano. And again, I would absolutely suggest that you buy this in bulk because it's close to $3 if you buy them individually. If you buy them in like a pack of 10 or even 20, you can get that price down to about $1.80. And these are not cheap. These are not the cheap versions. These are actually good ones that just sold in bulk. Okay. And then, of course, you're going to need that ultrasonic sensor, which Brooke already showed you. That thing's going to run you about $1.60, $2 if you buy the right one. Don't be like me and go to eBay and buy a bunch of cheap ones because now I just have a bunch of junk. Yeah, sorry about that. Okay, other parts that you're going to need. Screws. Now, you can use any screws that you want. The reason why I didn't include this in the primary list is a lot of you are going to have screws, M3 screws, from previous projects. I bought this from Banggood. If you go ahead and go to that link, Burke. I like this. It's a 240 sort of a multiples bin. It's going to cost you about $7. You probably have some M3 screws around, so if you don't want them, just use the ones that you've got. But I kind of like these because they're black, they're anodized, they last a long time, and there's varying lengths. You're also going to need about, a foot or two of 30-gauge silicone wire. And the reason why I use silicone wire is because if you feel this, Megan, this is what regular, like, plastic-coated wire feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what silicone wire feels like.
Yeah. It's much better.
Much better. Much more flexible. It doesn't tend to crack as it gets older. And it also survives temperature. So when I'm soldering, if I'm using silicone wire, what will happen is it will do nothing. It only affects the wire. If I'm using plastic wire, if I put too much heat, the insulation actually starts melting. Mm. And then I get fumes, and that's a bad thing. Yeah, don't do that. So that's the individual pieces that you're going to need. As I said before, you're looking at, maybe $2, $3 for the LED ring, maybe $2 for the Arduino Nano, maybe about $2 for the ultrasonic sensor. That's, $8 plus maybe you have to buy a batch of screws for $9 or $7. So really, this is a very inexpensive Halloween project. Let's take a look at the 3D printed parts. I know this is sort of the shortcoming for a lot of you because some of you don't have 3D printers, but hopefully you have access to one, and you're going to need two types of filament. You're going to need black filament, and you're going to need some sort of clear filament. I'm using a sort of a glow-in-the-dark filament, but that's just because that's what I had. We're going to need a few parts. If you go to my computer, let me show you what we've done. Burke, if you go ahead and switch over. So a couple of the parts you're going to need the skull. So the skull is right here. This was a design that I found on Tinkercad. Again, I'm not going to take a credit for this. It's actually quite nice. What they did was they hollowed it out. All I did was I added these mounting points. So I modified this just a little bit so that I could mount this onto the deck that I've created. So that mounting point, and that mounting point. Now, if I wanted to go ahead and modify this, what I could do is I can make this thing bigger. The only reason why I didn't make this bigger in the first place was because I was really constrained on print time. But I can change this so that very easily. This right now is 83.33 millimeters. I can stretch this out by 10 millimeters on that side. I could stretch it out by 10 millimeters on this side.
That's how big my brain is.
You've got a big brain, Marmoni.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can stretch it out by 10 millimeters on this side. And then just to keep my proportions right, because right now it's looking more like Cro-Magnon. Mm-hmm. We've just changed him from Scully to sort of squishy. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to raise it up by about 10 as well. And now I get back to my regular proportion. So what I've just did, I've increased the width by 20 millimeters. I've increased the length by 10 millimeters and the height by 10 millimeters. So I can scale this up and down. I just have to make sure that this part doesn't change. So these are the adapters that I've created to interface it with the deck. I just have to make sure that at some point it connects to that material so that I can still hold it down. But if you do have a 3D printer, I'm going to make these links are all available to you, so you can scale this up and down as you want.
So when you say if you have access to a 3D printer, yeah, are you saying like a neighbor, or like there's no such thing as like Kinko's? Like I just need to real
there
quick
is
use your
3D Shapeways. Printer. So Shapeways is a service on the internet. Once you have the file, and you can just take the files from me. I'm giving everyone the files. You can just send them the files. Let's say this is how much it's going to cost. Yeah, this is the original. That's the original, the Celtic skull. And that's actually not even the original. The original was a 3D scan. It was solid. And then a bunch of makers hollowed it out so that you could actually illuminate the thing. But Shapeways is a service on the internet where you send them the file. They tell you how much it costs. And then they'll just ship you and it's actually much nicer than anything I can print. But it's a little costly. Other access would be, as you said, a friend who has a 3D printer. Or maybe there's a maker space in your area that you can go to and say, hey, can I get a membership and then print up everything you need?
Great.
Also, 3D people tend to be kind of generous. So, I mean, like, I always give away all my prints. I live at a school, and some of the students watch my shows, and they'll say, hey, you know, we really like those goggles. We don't have a 3D printer. And I'll say, okay, well, I made these three. You can have them. And I don't give them the finished product. I give them, like, all the extra parts that I've printed. Mm-hmm. So be generous. It's a maker community. Let's go to the next part. The next part is the deck. Now, this one it's interesting because this is just a 3 millimeter plate that I've opened up a space in the middle in order to allow all the electronics to flow through. Now, if I ungroup this, you actually see how this works. These are another design that I was able to get from Thingiverse. These are just the Celtic symbol. It's a little clover. And I've put a bunch of them, and I've made them in the hollow so that it cuts shapes into the deck. Burke, if you go to the side cam, there you go. Side cam, there you go. So you can see them. They're kind of on the side. I tried it with a flat surface, and it was okay, but it looks so much nicer. It's, you know, it's one of these things where if you're going to make a design, why not make it so that as people get closer, they see more and more? Mm-hmm. That's kind of what we were going for, right? Now, the next piece that we're going to have is the base. This is kind of important. This is where all the electronics are going to fit. I've built this for expansion. So I've got the template for my ultrasonic module, which, by the way, I think you should all design. Design templates for all the pieces that you're going to use the most because it makes it really easy to design them into future projects. This is the template for the Arduino Nano. This is this little hole right there. I added that just in case I wanted to add a secondary power supply. And then these are the risers. So the two risers on the side hold the deck to the base. These two risers hold the LEDs in the right position so that they'll illuminate the skull. And then this is a little something that hopefully I'm going to use next week if I can get the ultrasonic sensor working properly. This is the mounting point for the LEDs that will go to the eyes. So I can actually make the eyes turn a different color than the rest of the skull. So I can make the eyes turn, you know, start to glow bright red.
Yes. Everybody loves bloody eyes.
Bloody eyes. Yeah, bloody eyes. And then the last piece is this. This is just the little LED shelf. Now, if this looks familiar, it's because it is. This is the shelf that I designed for the LED goggles. It comes in handy over and over again. And this is why I think everyone should build up a repertoire of devices that they use most often, because you can just reuse your templates over and over and over again. It's kind of cool that way.
Yeah.
So those are our 3D pieces. Again, folks, I'm going to make not just the files will be available, but the actual links. So if you want to resize this for your own project, if you want to play around with the design, you don't just have to print what I've created. You can take the actual working files and modify them. Yeah?
That's nice of you.
Now, Megan, here's the thing.
Oh.
Know-how is a learning show, mm-hmm. right? We want to teach people.
So I was learn.
I was thinking maybe because we do so many projects that use WS2812 LEDs, do you want to learn how to use them?
I do.
Okay.
I don't know all the numbers you just said, but I definitely want to learn.
Yes, the 55326 LEDs. Those are great. Those are good things.
Okay.
It's awesome stuff. So we're going to get to that. Megan is going to go ahead and wire up some WS2812s. We're going to get her into the Arduino Nano world because that's where she wants to live. But before we do that, let's go ahead and take a break to thank the sponsor of this episode of Know How. Hey Megan, there is a time-honored tradition of Halloween of kids being jerks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, I remember I had a neighbor who loved Halloween, and he set everything up. He had all the cool decorations, and every year stuff would get stolen. Is that common?
No, actually, that's not.
I think it was my neighborhood.
Maybe your neighbor wasn't that nice.
Yeah.
No, we didn't. We haven't gotten any of our stuff stolen.
Fingers crossed. Well, I mean, he did, and it was a bummer because, you know, he put a lot of work into his designs. He put a lot of work into the things that he built, and it was always kind of a bummer the day after Halloween, and he'd be sort of, oh, you know, someone took my pumpkin that I had carved out of ceramic, or someone took this or that. It would be nice if he had a technology. It would allow him to keep track of everything, even when it's moved far beyond his property. Mm-hmm. What if there was a coin-sized device, something that ran on a battery, something that could be used even if it became out of range of your devices, that let you know exactly where it is or exactly where it was? If only that technology existed. It does. And it's actually on the lower third right now, folks. It's Tracker. That's right. The Tracker is the best way for you to keep track of everything that you care about. You can lose your phone, maybe lose your wallet, maybe lose your keys, maybe lose your Halloween decorations, and you know that those items want to wander off.
Well, with the skulls want to wander off?
They do. They're weird like that.
Well, that's the other thing. If it actually became, you know, sentient and wandered off, we would be able to track
it. Exactly. This right, what Megan's holding right here, this is the Tracker. This little device allows me to know exactly where anything is at any given time. It's going to pair with my smartphone, up to 10 of these at any time, and it allows me to know its location because it's connected via Bluetooth LE. Now, with Tracker Pixel, you'll never worry about losing your things again. It's the lightest Bluetooth tracking device on the market. You can place the Tracker Pixel on whatever you tend to lose. Again, your keys, your wallets, even your cat or your pumpkin.
Or your Scully.
Small enough to fit on your smallest items. And when you misplace an item or when that item goes missing and you've got a Tracker Pixel attached, you can use your paired smartphone and a 90 decibel alert will help you find it in seconds. Maybe they just toss it into the neighbor's yard. Even has powerful LED lights so that you can find your items in the dark. Now, if you lose your phone, just press the button on your Tracker Pixel and your phone rings even if it's on silent. So it's sort of a backwards tracker. And you can locate your item even if it's miles away because every Tracker user is part of the largest crowd locate network in the world. And Tracker's 30-day money-back guarantee means that you truly have nothing to lose. Folks, we want you to have peace of mind. We want you to keep all of the things that you care about. And you can do it with the Tracker. Go to thetracker.com/knowhow and save 20% off any order. That's the Tracker, thetracker.com/knowhow for 20% off. And we thank Tracker for their support of Know How. Oh, wait.
Okay.
Wait, did you just make it part of Bob's eye socket?
Yes, I did. There we go.
Oh, Bob.
Bob's not going anywhere.
this is what happens, folks. This is the joy that is Know How. Now, don't forget, all the 3D parts and the code are available at the show notes, so you don't have to copy everything off the screen as you see it. But we're also going to give links to all the little individual pieces that we're buying for this project. Now, Megan, before we get into our little project here, I want to clear the desk so I can give you room. What we're going to do is we're going to have you programming, or not programming, we're going to have you hooking things up via a larger Arduino. I've been using the Nano, but the nice thing about the Arduino family is if it works on this, it will work on this, and vice versa. So we're going to use a larger one that gives you a bit easier way to plug things in. This is what an Arduino Uno looks like. Actually, go to the overhead, Bert. What you can see is we've got a bunch of pins here. Over here are my digital pins. You don't really need to know what that's right now. All you need to know is that digital allows me to do digital input and output, and that's what we're going to be using for this particular project. These are analog. I'm not going to be using that for this. This is where I can get my power. Do you see how it's silkscreened? So I have VIN GND, GND, and 5V, right? You see those?
Yep.
That's voltage in, which is going to be 5 volts because it's coming from the USB port. Ground, ground, 5 volts. So I've got two voltage ports and two ground ports, which is exactly what we're going to be using. Are we cool with that?
Yes.
Okay, now, here's the fun part. We are going to be playing with these. This is a WS2812 ring. And go and just leave it on the overhead for now, Berg. This is a WS2812. Now, this is what's called an individually addressable LED. Each one of these LEDs has a little IC, integrated circuit, that allows me to send it 3 bytes. And every byte, because it's 8-bit, has 256 values. So I can use between 0 and 255 for 3 different values on each light. And those 3 different values are red, blue, and green. So I can tell each light, use 100 for red, 100 for blue, 100 for green, and that's about 40% brightness. Or I could say go 0 for everything, but 255 for blue, which makes it pure blue. And by changing those values, I can make these any color I want. Do you see how that works? Mm-hmm. It's like the old CRT. Or even an LCD today. I can send different values for the different colors, pure colors of light, the primary colors. And by mixing those, I can turn that into any color I want it to be.
Any color?
Any color. and any brightness. Now, the cool thing about this is the way that this is going to work is the Arduino. So the code that I'm going to create for the Arduino is going to create an array, which is just a string of numbers, right? And every light is going to take 3 bytes off that string, that array, and it's going to pass what's left to the LED behind it. So these are all hooked up in a string. So it goes from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, actually 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, so on and so forth. So if I have 10 LEDs, I need 30 values, 30 red, blue, and green values, which means this will see all 30, and then it will take it off, take the 3 off that it needs and pass 27 to the next, which will then get 24, then 21, then 18, then 15, and so on and so forth, all the way down to 0. That's how we're going to control it. So here's what we need you to do. We need you to hook this up. Now, this is where it's awesome. Going back to the overhead. This is what's so awesome about it. I only need 3 pins. I need ground. I need 5 volts. That's my voltage in. And then I need the data pin. So ground and 5 volts, that's you know, pretty obvious. That just gives me the power to turn the light on. The data pin is the thing that's actually going to allow me to tell the LEDs what color I want them to turn.
So right. The data pin is the communication,
there
the way
go.
To communicate.
Exactly, okay. Exactly.
Ground, power, communication.
Right, so hold it under the camera so people know. So ground. I've pre-wired this for you. So brown, that brown wire, that's going to be your ground.
Okay.
The red wire, that's wired into the 5 volts, the VCC. This orange wire, that's my data pin. So that's the communications pin. But remember, it's only one way. The Arduino sends it down this line, and all the LEDs get their values.
Got it.
So I need you to plug the brown one into ground, so one of the ground pins. There we go.
Okay.
There we go. Okay, and then you need to take the red one. You're going to put it into the 5-volt pin.
Why didn't it stay in there?
Yeah, they tend to pop out a little
bit. Okay, sorry. My head.
Oh, wait. You want to put it into the... You're putting into the hole. You need to put it into the... There you go.
Okay.
That's the pin slot.
Yay.
Yeah, it can be kind of a little tricky.
Okay, got it.
There you go.
And
okay.
And then
the red one goes into 5V.
And then this.
And then that one's going to go over to digital 3.
Okay.
And I'll show you why it's going to go to digital 3 in just a little
0,
bit.
1, 2, 3.
There you go.
Spread the wires like
no,
that?
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay.
Okay, good. So I'm going to check it really quickly. Yeah, you've got... The brown one's going into ground. The red one's going into 5 volt, I think. Yep. And this one is going over to digital 3. Now, let's go ahead and take a look at the code that's going to enable this. So if you go to my computer, Burke, this is the code that's going to drive this Arduino. Right now, I've got data pin 3. That's where you plugged it in, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the communications pin. And then I'm telling it, in this particular case, you've got 8. You've got 8 LEDs. Now, if we've done this right, by the way, this is the code from the Bubbler project that we did a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
If we've done this right, when I connect this, then that little light bar should turn on, and we should get some magic. Let's go ahead and go back to the overhead, Burke. Okay, so power. It's going to take a while for this to boot.
Do we have to cross our fingers?
Actually, it's good if I plug it on the other side. And about 3, 2, 1, and light me up. Or not. There you go! Okay, and so what it's doing right now, let me turn this away from the camera so it's not so bright. What it's doing right now, it's running through an animation pattern that we created for the bubbler. So it's going from sort of a slow-moving colors to some bouncing colors to it'll do some back and forth. Now, the nice thing about WS2812s is that they're daisy-chainable. So I've got 8 on this stick. However, I can make it far, far more. In fact, here's what I want you to do. If you go back to the side view, Burke, I've got another stick of WS2812s. Side view, there we go. Go ahead and just plug this into the socket at the end here. Yeah, there's only one way you can plug it in, so you're not gonna blow it up. There you go. Now, most WS2812s, you'd actually have to solder. This just happens to have quick connects. It's, you know, some of the parts that I have
down.
It's like plugging in the old USB. Yeah. If it doesn't work one way, plug it in the other way. Okay. Now, but wait, what's going on?
Why isn't it working?
Maybe because if you remember in our code, we actually told it to do 8 LEDs. So all that's happening is the program, actually, like, leave it like that. If you go directly into the camera, it's too bright. If the Arduino is only generating enough values for 8 LEDs, we need now to tell it to do enough values for 16 LEDs. Now, Burke, if you go back to my computer, that's one line. There we go. So from 8 to 16. Now what I'm going to do is go ahead and upload this. It's going to an Uno connected to port 3. It's going to go and compile the code. Once the code is compiled, it's going to push it. And if we've done this right, then this second light bar should light up. And which, by the way, there are 16 LEDs in that WS2812 ring that we created for Scully. There you go. That's how simple it is. That's why I love working with WS2812s. It's really this simple. As long as you've got that data pin and as long as you're providing enough power to the LEDs, that's all you have to do. It's just one pin, a little bit of code, and I can change what my animation does, how bright it is, and how many LEDs are connected. Does that make sense to you?
It does.
Okay, now we need to do one more thing. I'm going to go ahead and pull these. And what I want you to do now is I want you to wire in this.
The sensors.
This is the ultrasonic sensor. This is what's going to allow my Arduino to find out if something is getting close to it. Now, to do this, luckily, we've got this little breadboard. So what I'm going to do right now is going to take this and do that.
Does it matter where you put it?
Not really, because okay. I've got the 4 pins. Oh, there we go. I've got those 4 pins right there. So what you're going to do is you're going to take this jumper cable. We're going to strip off 4 of these wires, and then you're going to connect power. So it's got a GND and VCC, so it's got ground and 5-volt power. We're going to hook that into those same pins that you did for the LEDs. And then we need 2 digital pins, one that triggers the ping, and then one that is triggered by the echo. So, because remember, this is like it's sonar, basically. Mm-hmm. It sends out, and then it receives, takes that value, divides it by 2, multiplies it by the speed of sound. That's all math.
Got it.
All right, so let's go and get you 4 pins. How about black, white, gray, and purple?
Perfect.
Okay, so those are going to be yours. Now, I know you can't see which pin is which, so I'm going to do this.
The guide.
The guide. So this tells you that the pin on this side, go to the overhead, the pin on this side is VCC. The pin on the opposite side is GND. Then in the middle, I have trigger and echo. So the first step is to go ahead and hook up, go and put black to GND, which is the furthest. No, let's do it right there. Third. Actually, here, let me do that because okay. I think it's more important for you to see it than me.
Right here?
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
And then why don't we make purple on the other side? Oh, that's white.
Oh, purple.
Actually, here, just plug them in straight in. So okay. Right next to each other. Here we go.
Okay. White. And gray.
Gray. Right there. And then purple. Oh, she got it. She's got it.
Got helpful help from the peanut gallery.
The Burke gallery.
That's what You always do when there you go. You're working.
Let me check
on something.
It. Yeah, see, that's exactly what you want. So it's straight across. Now remember, the thing about a breadboard is all of these are connected straight across. So these wires are now connected to those four pins on the sensor. Now black is ground. So let's go ahead and spread this a little bit. And purple is voltage. So go ahead and hook up the black one to your ground pin and hook up the purple one to your voltage.
Okay, so the black one goes to the ground pin.
Mm-hmm.
And the purple, ground.
Oh, no, yeah, I remember. It's, yeah, there you go.
It seems like that I want to put it in there. Okay, and then the purple goes into the
purple
voltage.
Purple and the voltage. There you go. Good. And by the way, there is no difference between the two G and D pins. Those are the same. So, yeah,
okay,
good on you. Now, Burke, what I need you to do is if you could please go over to my computer. I'm just going to pull up a basic example from the ultrasonic library. So this actually comes with the library itself. It's an ultrasonic library. You just go into your libraries and add it. This tells me what pins it's currently set for. So the ultrasonic is set for 12 and 13. So the trigger is going to pin 12, and the echo is going to pin 13. So if we look at our little template here, the one that's closest to voltage, so this gray one is my trigger. So that's going to go to 12, and this white one is going to go to 13. So if you look over here, you can see the digital pins.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. That's so my 12 and my 13.
Gray one goes to 12.
Mm-hmm.
And the white one goes to 13.
Right.
12. 13. Did I get that right?
Probably. And if not, the nice thing about an Arduino is it's very hard to blow it up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've done that, but it's hard to blow it up. So we're going to go ahead and power this on. It's not going to do anything right now because there's no code loaded for it. But I'm going to go ahead and if you go back to my computer, Burke, I'm going to make sure that this is going to the right Arduino. It's an Uno on port 3. And let's go ahead and upload it. Now, if this doesn't work, don't worry, because it probably just means we reverse some of our pins, and we can fix that. But it's now that it's uploaded, I'm going to go to my serial monitor. Let's see.
How are we going to know
there
if
we go.
It's working or not?
Like that.
Ah.
So if I, stay on the shot, Bert. So if I turn this, see, if it's an empty spot, it gets all the way up to about almost 200 centimeters. Oh, see. This is the sensor flaking out again. There we go.
That was...
As you get closer and closer. There we go.
We're moving our hands closer
Hold on. You don't want to get too close to this because then the sensor absolutely freaks out.
79-cent sensor? Is
there
that the one you're talking
this
about?
This is the 79-cent sensor. So yeah, this is what happens when you buy cheap sensors, folks. So it's getting it right like once in every 10. Let me go and reset this and see if we can get it to come back. Come on. Come on, little sensor. Oh, it's trying its hardest. You know what? Hold on. Let me pull this. I really hope the good ones get here soon. Okay, let me reset.
We're keeping it real here.
We are keeping it real. We're showing you. This is what happens when you make bad choices, people.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, wait. You don't want to get too close, otherwise it will... There we go. That was on for a second. Well, it was working at the very beginning. No, you don't want to get too close.
Maybe.
Stop. Yeah. No, we're fine. There we go. So, yeah, what's happening is the sensor, if it doesn't detect an echo because you've gotten so close, it actually just, it freaks out, and then I have to reset it. Now, that is not ideal because it means you're going to have to sit there while waiting for the sensor to recover. Just go back to that screen, Bert. Yeah, stay on that screen, please. Okay, so I'm getting a value every once in a while, but this thing is just, this is what happens again when you buy a cheap sensor. So I've got 11 right now. Let's see if I can get further away. Further away, 16. There we go, 21. And then pull my hand away, and hopefully it doesn't go to zero. There we go. And now it's back to zero. So it does work. The coding works. You hooked it up perfectly, by the way. First time. Very well done. But unfortunately, if you have a crap sensor, it's a crap sensor. Yeah, folks. Now, that's the ultrasonic. Next, what we're going to do is let's go ahead and tie everything together. Again, Scully's not working perfectly right now, but I'm going to show you the code that we will use with Scully so that we can change the animation patterns when ready to go. Are you ready for that part?
I'm ready for that part.
Okay. Before we get to that part, let's go ahead and take another moment to thank the sponsor of Know How. Now, when I'm doing projects, I need the right tools. And in the old days, I would use any tools that were hanging around. That typically meant I used a screwdriver as a pry bar, which wasn't ideal. It also meant that I stripped off a lot of heads because I didn't have the right bit or the right jigger that I needed to get something open, to get it safely put together. Well, that all changed with iFixit. Now, you know iFixit. You love iFixit because they love us. They are all about the DIY and maker community. You know that they like to take stuff apart and teach people how to fix things. They're constantly posting teardowns and repair videos for popular devices like the Galaxy S8, the iPhones, and the Switch. They're also leading the charge in the electronics repair tool industry with their iconic black and blue ProTech Toolkit. Now, if you check out the ProTech Toolkit in their store, they explain how each piece of the kit was meticulously designed. You won't find a higher quality toolkit like this on the market. And by the way, don't let its small size fool you. There is a lot of functionality built into this kit, and it's only $59.95. The tool roll makes it compact and easy to store. It includes a 64-bit driver kit, all the bits you need for just about any DIY electronics repair, a protective case that keeps your bits organized. You just open it up, flip it over, and the bits won't fall out. Now, that bit kit is held in place by a magnetic mat. This is a great design cue because it doubles as the perfect spot to hold tiny components and screws. If you've ever been working on a project and you've bumped your table or your workspace and suddenly all your screws go flying into the carpet, well, that's not going to happen with the ProTech Toolkit because that magnet will hold them in place. They also give you tools like a swivel top magnetic precision driver, a flex extension for hard-to-reach screws, a wide variety of plastic opening tools, spudgers, and picks to safely poke and pry with, plus a suction cup with a new fancy handle to remove display assemblies, iFixit's own rubber-handed Jimmy pry tool, and a set of metal spudgers. They've even got ESD-safe tweezers and an ESD safety strap so you don't destroy the electronics that you're trying to fix with a massive static shock. And the best part, all of iFixit's tools are backed by iFixit's lifetime warranty. You don't need to buy something to get iFixit's free repair resources, by the way. Because they love the maker community, they're giving away their over 25,000 free repair guides over at iFixit.com. Folks, if you're a maker, if you're a DIYer, or if you want to get something special for that maker or DIYer in your life, you got to try iFixit. If you want to tackle your next hack, fix, or build with the ProTech Toolkit, just visit iFixit.com/twit to snag the fully loaded ProTech Toolkit for only $59.95. And we thank iFixit for their support of Know How. Okay, Megan, let's go ahead and bring Scully back up on the table because the electronics that you just assembled, that's actually all that I need to get this project working.
Wow.
That's it, because it's just that LED, and it's just the ultrasonic sensor, hopefully one that's actually working. Now, inside of this, inside of Scully, we've got this. So if you go to the overhead, Burke, this is the base. The overhead. All right. So this is the base, and inside my base, I've got this deck. And this is everything that I need to get everything mounted. So this is the little mounting cue for the Arduino. Allows me to access it from this side. These are the little mounting holes, hopefully for a working ultrasonic sensor. And then these are the mounting points so that I can secure my WS2812 ring of LEDs. But this is going to happen all next week because, of course, I can't finish this project without the working WS2812. What I did want to do, however, is I wanted to show you what it looks like, the code actually looks like when it's working properly. And Burke, if you come back over to my screen, this code is going to be made available, so you don't have to copy it off the screen. This is the same code that we used for the Mad Scientist Bubbler, except we added this. This is a distance check function that I wrote. What it will do is it will ping. It will activate the ultrasonic reader, and it will say, how far away is stuff? Anything from me. Then it will go through a series of if statements. And if it's within, say, 20 centimeters, then it's going to run animation pattern 6. If it's further than 20 centimeters, closer than 300 centimeters, then it runs animation pattern 1. If it's further away than 300 centimeters, then it's going to run animation 0, and animation 0 is off. Now, Megan, the cool thing about this is I've got 7 different animations built into Scully, into the code that I've already created. So if they wanted to have really fine control, they could just make a bunch more if statements to say from 10 centimeters to from 0 centimeters to 10 centimeters, make the eyes glow. From 10 centimeters to 20 centimeters, make the whole skull glow. From 20 centimeters to 100 centimeters, make something else happen. So it's really up to them what animations they want to trigger. Now, if this sat on top of a candy bowl on the outside, as someone starts reaching for the candy, the animation will change based on how close they are to that sensor. And if you have it so that it activates the glowing eyes as they're the closest to it, that's kind of cool, because then they quickly figure out, oh, it's responding to me. Right now, it's just on a loop of the animation patterns. Mm-hmm. But because of this ultrasonic sensor, I now have the ability to actually change it depending on what they're doing.
So you really start to see the difference between that and this.
Yeah, because right now this is a glorified that. This just, it does a couple more different lighting patterns. But as soon as I get working ultrasonic sensors, I can program this to react to the environment around it. And unfortunately, Dollar Store Dave,
Dollar Store Dave.
Yeah, Dollar Store Dave can't do that. Although he does do the eyes.
If I go around. And that's what you have to do at night. You have to go around and turn them all off and turn them back on. It's a real hassle.
It is. Now, Megan, what we want to do is next week we want to come back. We want to do the completed Scully. Hopefully I'll have working ultrasonic sensors by then, which, by the way, you've got Dollar Store Dave glitter all
over. I know. That's part of Halloween, the glitter.
Is it? The glitter really is Halloween?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was a different thing.
Okay. No.
More Mardi
I'll
Gras.
Bring more and just throw it at you from now
on. Let's go. But we'll have Scully already. And actually, this one I want to give to you. So when this is all done, this is going to be part of your Halloween repertoire. Is that cool?
That's cool. As long as you come trick-or-treating.
I will come trick-or-treating.
Wearing your costume.
One caveat, though. You're going to have to assemble yours.
I can do it.
You can do that?
I think I have the confidence. I know how.
Yeah, folks, by the way, if you're impatient and you want to solder it together right now, all of the instructions on assembling this, because it is so simple, are actually in the show notes. We're just not doing it now because without a working ultrasonic sensor, it doesn't make sense for me to do it. But again, just go there. Go to our show page at twit.tv/KH. There you're going to find all the links for all of these parts, which, by the way, if you want to make this for Halloween, you got to order it now because it's going to take about a week to get here from China. Under $10, go ahead and do it. Again, twit.tv/KH. You're going to find all the links plus the instructions for soldering this thing together. We're going to do a complete tutorial next week because Megan is going to put it together herself. And it's just one of the ways to participate in the cool stuff that we do here at the network. Also, don't forget that we have a social thing. That's a new thing, social media.
The socials. I have heard of the socials.
We do the socials on Google+. Don't laugh. Yes, we use Google+. We love Google+ because we've got almost 11,000 Kitas. That's our know-it-alls on our know-how group. Just go to Google+, look for know-how, ask to be added. Once you're in, a very short approval process because we want to keep the spam accounts out, you'll be able to access all of the knowledge that they've contributed to our database. You can ask questions. You can answer questions. You can look at projects that maybe spark some imagination in your mind. And, of course, you can post pictures and videos of your projects, so maybe we'll show them off here on Know How. Of course, that's not the only place to find us. We also have personal socials.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the cool kids are calling it, right?
Yep.
Where's your socials, Megan?
I'm at Megan Maroney on Twitter.
Yeah, and you're going to find me at twitter.com/PadreSJ. Not exactly sure what our cameras are doing right now. And Burke, you're going to be able to find Burke at twitter.com/ANELF. And go ahead and jump over there and tell Burke at ANELF3 that he did a great job today. Yeah. Until next time, I'm Father Robert Ballasaire.
And I am lover of Halloween and everything else. And glitter. Megan Maroney.
And now that you know how, go Scully.